about.
You know, we're tired of it. I don't think anybody realizes how bad this is. Just the smell is unbearable.
If you don't mind, I will begin at the beginning.
It's a new day. Let's get going.
1, 2, 3.
Bad boy!
4, 5, 6.
B.I.G.
Love fat asses. I'm an ass man. I've been talking about all day, but I like ass. I like a nice round behind. How about that? Yeah.
Kevin Embiid, stop it.
How about the basketball game?
This is, I don't know, it's not what I thought it was going to be.
Glad I'm not alone.
Sam Anderson?
What about radio?
You'll have to take radio the way it is.
Well, that's very nice of you to say that. Do you do any work on honeymoons?
I believe I have what it takes to become America's next top model.
I mean.
How come there ain't no Puerto Ricans on Star Trek? They got every race and life form in the galaxy, except for Puerto Ricans. What's up with that?
Our feature presentation.
Don't bogart that joint, my friend.
Not quite.
Yet. You got a few more hours to go before we get to that point again.
Pass it over to me.
You get any sleep at all, Kevin?
Last night, no.
You were tweeting at 3 a.m., I understand.
Not a second, yeah. Well, we didn't get back to the hotel till like 1. So, then, you know, by the time you fall asleep, it's 2:30, then you got to get up. You've had an hour and a half sleep, you feel worse, so we just stayed up.
I think that was wise. You go out and eat? That's what I do.
No, I worked on some pictures, laid there. You know what I did? I watched America's Best Dance Crew. On MTV. Season 7. They just started a brand new season.
Yeah, good to know.
Oh, I got to tell you.
That's your show. That's your show.
I want to be a B-boy so bad.
Well, I think your time has passed.
Yeah.
I don't think that's likely that's
well, I mean, after I won it in 2007 and 2008, you know.
Right, but you peaked. I mean, you can't be an athlete forever. You think Bruce Jenner probably wants to go back to the Olympics, too, but that's not his life anymore. You got to move on. Yeah. Lisa May.
Bean.
We missed you so much. How many times, Kevin, last week did I say, I miss Lisa?
100.
Ad nauseum, I imagine.
It wasn't that bad. It wasn't to an annoyance part, but I did. I very much missed you.
Well, I appreciate that.
Plus, we had a transsexual doing traffic, so that was weird. I mean,
you did not have a transsexual.
We did.
I did actually hear that comment.
She was on half 72. Man, half horse or something. I don't know what
on
she was.
On 55 freeway.
She's one of the best traffic reporters out there.
I'm sure she's very nice.
She's very competent as well.
What was her name?
Donna Dower.
When she was a man, though.
She was never a man.
Well, she hasn't had... Has she had the complete surgery, or she's halfway through the procedure?
She just has a sexy low voice.
Low voice, yes.
Not that low. I never noticed.
Beer mug got plenty of sleep.
Yeah.
Beer mug was
so
great.
You were there all weekend.
I got there Saturday.
Yeah, what?
What, Kevin?
No, go ahead.
Oh, yeah, I got there Saturday. But, my whole day revolved around yesterday. I got to get out of here before the Rush does. Right when Dr.
Rush
was
there?
No,
I didn't even see them on the lineup.
No, the crowd of people. I had to beat them out. So I had a game plan. I attacked it. I succeeded. Except the alarm was set for 4 p.m. instead of 4 a.m. when I normally wake up.
Then you failed.
Yeah.
Don't say you succeeded.
Well, part of the plan succeeded. The end part, the most important part, did fail. And that was me getting to work on time.
Good.
Yeah.
Mugs.
Yeah.
Mugs.
I can't.
I'm open. I'm ready for it. Give it to me.
It's impossible.
Yes, go ahead, Kevin.
It's impossible to tell you what an F up that guy is. It's just, there's no words to describe.
What's going on now? Who's Kevin talking to?
I'm talking about mugs. Talking to mugs and about mugs and about the fact that he is out of his freaking mind.
Here's my whole thing.
Yes.
We have someone who does whatever he wants in his off hours, no matter how it affects the show. That position has been taken, Mugs.
Yeah.
And you're years late. That's been claimed. Kevin has it. He owns it. He's great at it.
Yes.
You can't be that guy. You can't be the guy who just does whatever he wants and shows up whenever he wants.
Totally understood. And I don't know how I can make it up to you guys. I understand my role is to be here on time every day.
Because then when you're not, then Chip has to come in and she's busy, and then Omar has to come in and he's busy.
Trust me, I don't feel like a bigger dick when that happens. I owe everybody
lunch in a car wash or drinks or whatever.
Let's do a car wash. I'd like that.
Absolutely. Absolutely. I know it burdens everybody, and I apologize. No excuses. No excuses.
We got a guy working down the hall at Amp Radio who I love, who's great.
Yeah.
Yeah. Just, I don't know if you know this or not, Lisa, but Gouda is in the building. And how much does that guy rule?
Well, Gouda's awesome. But Gouda's interviews, class. I don't know. I don't think they come near the. People don't get mugged with Gouda.
Listen, before we move on, because we have a huge, huge, huge show, and I want to talk about this later in greater detail, Kevin, but give me the impression of being there for the Tupac hologram in person and tell me what that experience was like.
That was so unbelievably cool. And we were a little bit ways back in the middle, and he came up from underneath the stage, and you look up and you just go, holy cow, that's Tupac.
And it looked like he was standing on the stage.
Yes, yes.
And then Snoop comes out and sings with him, and they're 6 feet apart, and they look like they're on stage together, and it's for reals.
And Tupac talks to Dre, and Dre talks back. Dre's talking live, and Tupac, of course, on tape. And then, you know, he talks to Snoop, and then somehow they put together, I'm not exactly sure how they did it, but he said, what's up, Coachella?
That's the thing that was
Tupac.
Weird. It's not just like they animated basically a Tupac song, they actually had him speaking in 2012. And that's what that's the part that I need to know more about.
Oh, it was so great. It was so great. I recorded about half of it on video. But he comes out and he's standing there and he's looking around to the left, looking to the right, and he's talking to both guys, and he did like two songs.
And he hasn't aged a day, by the way. Let me say that about Tupac.
He looks
as good as he did the last time we saw him.
He looks good. It was really, it was so cool, it was almost freaky.
Yeah.
You know, you watch it and you go, okay, this is great, but
imagine if you were one of the people at Coachella who'd been on acid all weekend, what that would have done to you to see Tupac come out.
I wonder how many people, we were talking about this after we were leaving, I wonder how many people, and you know the masses don't pay attention, thought Tupac was there.
Yes. Oh, I haven't heard from that guy in a while. He looked good.
What percentage would you say? Would you guess?
Oh, I bet it's 10% at least.
I would guess so too.
He's alive and just showed up at Coachella for the first time ever.
I haven't heard from him in a long time.
Why doesn't he put records out anymore? They slowed down finally a couple of years ago.
It looked really cool.
Well, we have the video up at KROQ.com if anyone wants to see Tupac on stage.
Yeah.
And, I mean, this has been going around. You know, they've done this in Japan for a long time. They have these stars, these hologram-created stars that sell out stadiums, you know? Not stadiums, but, you know, large venues and stuff. And then last year they had this company. I don't know if it was the same company that handled this Coachella deal, but they had this company that did a Mariah Carey concert this way, you know? And you fast forward in your mind about 5 years, and we're going to be going to Las Vegas to see the actual Beatles perform, aren't we? I mean, that's where this is headed.
Well, I talked to some people who are on the side, and they said they could see how it's a little too one-dimensional from the side. But if you're looking at it straight on, I mean, he was every bit as there as Snoop was.
Yeah, and I noticed the stage was essentially black, and I wondered if it was like a green screen type situation where they couldn't have him interacting too much with the band behind him and things like that because maybe it wouldn't look right yet.
Do you see the picture of him on the website that I put up?
Yes.
It's Tupac standing right there, and then we have a photo gallery, and then underneath that there's a video of him, and it's just, it's weird. It's fantastic, but weird.
It does make me wonder what's next, though, that's
for
sure. Well, we got a lot to talk about with all the stuff that happened over Coachella this weekend. We also are going to have the world premiere, as mentioned, of the brand new Linkin Park song. You've not heard this yet. It's brand new. It is called Burn It Down, and we're going to talk to Mike Shinoda and find out what the band has been up to. Also, the Three Stooges in heaven today, Kevin.
Fantastic. Find out what they thought about the movie.
I know you couldn't make it. You were busy this weekend.
Sure wanted to.
Lisa May?
Yes.
We did the countdown to Samageddon every day last week on The Kevin and Bean Show.
I was praying that he would not come.
Well, he's not going to be here today.
He's not going to be here today.
He's not going to be here today because when the expiration date came for his restraining order, Kevin called him up on the phone.
Yes.
And he was very excited to hear from Kevin. But then a little while after that, he called Dave or Dave called him, Kevin?
He called Dave.
He called Dave and said, I've got some demands before
my
I come back on.
My wife does not want me to come on your show unless my demands are met.
What kind of demands?
He wants an apology from us to him.
Because we had so much to do with him being suspended or you know, not being allowed on the show.
Okay.
And Pete and I were thinking, we tried to talk about it with everything we had. There's no possible way we could have done more. So he needs an apology, A. B, he needs a breakfast with.
Okay, good. Why? To raise $10,000 to pay his legal bills.
Oh, my God.
And he wants to do Loveline now, being I don't know if you heard that part. He's adding stuff as we go. So today we have to talk to his wife. He says all of this comes from Mrs. Comedian. It's all from her. She doesn't want him to have anything to do with this, so she's going to lay down the law, and now we have all these things that we have to meet. So
Wow, that is interesting.
We're going to talk to her today, and I mean, honestly, there's not a chance in hell we're going to raise 10 grand for him.
No.
Isn't he just lucky that we remember who he is and we're inviting him back on the show even once?
Yes. Making demands.
Unbelievable.
That's, you know what, though? That's so beautifully Sam.
It is.
Perfect.
Plus Harvey Levin from TMZ.com. That's all coming up. And Ralph's got the showbiz beat, too. That's next right here on the Kevin and Bean Show.
Everything I planned was perfect.
It was the perfect plan, except for me getting to work on time.
It worked out right up until I was supposed to be to work.
I don't know why I couldn't make it work. I feel bad.
All the rest of it I feel really good about.
Yeah, guys. Sorry.
Dumbass.
Hey, tell me if you've heard this before. It's your last chance. You can listen to K-Rock all week long at 9, noon, 3, 6, and 9 to score a pair of three-day passes for Coachella.
Hold on. How many last chances are we giving here?
This week is it. This is it. I mean, this is really it.
When you say this is it.
I mean, this is it. All so right. The Coachella is sold out again for this coming weekend, Friday, Saturday, and Sunday, and access to the Coachella house. K-Rock, are you, K-Rock. Kevin, are you going to be heading back down and go for it all over again?
Oh, God, no, I'd die. No.
Have tickets you can win at 9 o'clock this morning on the Kevin and Bean Show. World premiere, brand new Linkin Park music coming up next right after Ralph's showbiz beat. What's going on, Ralph?
I heard you guys talk about the Tupac hologram that was on stage.
That was cool.
I don't know if you saw it or not, but YouTube, there's a guy who's posted it on YouTube. The entire performance is available on YouTube. You can see the hologram. It's really impressive.
We put it up at
KRX.com, too.
Up there?
Yeah, it's amazing.
Yeah, it's very impressive. Before I get to showbiz news, my favorite story of the week. No one knows whether it's real or not, but I thought it was worth mentioning about the young lady in Chicago who posted an ad on Craigslist. This is a gentleman she's trying to locate. She apparently hooked up with him at the Megadeth Motorhead concert in Chicago. She's 28 years old. I wanted to read you the Craigslist missed connection ad that she posted over this weekend. Me, blue hair, silver tube top fishnets, knee-high black biker boots. You, red mohawk, black pentagram gauges, viper piercings. I was grinding on you in the pit. Then we went to the bathroom and got effed up. You had a nice rooster. And I was wasted, so I let you raw dog it in the stall. You were really good and had to muffle me so I would not make too much noise. Anyway, I'm pregnant. It's yours. Contact me if you want to be part of the child's life.
Oh, my God.
He was all excited right to that last
part. Right
to
that last part there, yeah, the Chicago's Craigslist.
Hoping it was, let's meet up and do it again.
Yeah, like that, right? Yeah. Who said true love isn't alive?
Pregnant.
Yeah. Kid has quite a story to tell about how his parents met, though.
Yeah, at the Motorhead Megadeth concert. All right, it's Monday. Let's take a look at the top 10 movies at the box office. Hunger Games continues to be unbeatable at the box office. Made another $21.5 million this weekend. Makes it number one.
I don't remember the last time a movie was number one for 4 weeks, Ralph.
Yeah, it's been a long time. The Three Stooges, in its debut, made just a little bit over $17 million. Cabin in the Woods, in its debut, made almost $15 million, good enough to make it number three. Titanic 3D was fourth. American Reunion came in at number five. Mirror, Mirror, Wrath of the Titans, 21 Jump Street, Lockout. That's about Space Prison, you know. That was number nine to the box office. And The Lorax came in at number 10 this weekend at the box office. A lot of people upset about the Three Stooges movie. Least of all, the Catholic League of Decency. They're upset because, first of all, Kate Upton is dressed as a nun in the movie, but she comes out of a swimming pool wearing a very, very, very tiny swimsuit.
And looking good.
But that upsets them.
I know. Not me.
It also upsets them that Larry David's character is named Sister Mary Mengele, which is obviously a reference to the infamous Nazi war criminal, Joseph Mengele. They're unhappy about that as well. So they want everyone to not go see
the Three Stooges, and it looks like they won't have to work very hard to make that happen because not a lot of people went this weekend.
Yeah.
Robert Downey Jr. speaking out about Iron Man. Of course, the Avengers is coming out on May 4th, which I saw over the weekend, by the way.
And?
Oh, it's so awesome.
Oh, that's so good to hear.
He thinks Iron Man could take on Batman or Superman. And he thought it would be fun to do a movie where they cross over the Marvel and DC characters and he gets to go up against some of the biggest superheroes in history.
The old age-old questions about who could win a fight.
That's right. He wants to do it, but everyone else involved says they don't think it'll ever happen. They'll be able to cross the streams like that because bad things happen when you cross the streams.
I've heard that.
But he thinks he's ready. He's already working on Iron Man 3 with Ben Kingsley. So he said he'll do the character as long as he possibly can, which is cool. So many people are looking to get out of their franchises, but he seems very happy to be both Iron Man and Sherlock Holmes.
He's so perfect for that, too.
He's amazing in Avengers 2. And the script is so great. Joss Whedon just writes an amazing script. And there's so many funny one-liners. He's just so cool, Robert Downey Jr., you know?
Yep.
But everyone comes off great in it. Mark Ruffalo is amazing as Bruce Banner / The Incredible Hulk. And Scarlett Johansson has a lot to do in this film. Jeremy Renner. It's just a really well-written script on top of being an amazing looking film. Joss Whedon should get a lot of credit. Did a great job with it. Today's celebrity birthdays: Kareem Abdul-Jabbar. He used to play basketball. He is 67 years old.
Now he's a terrible actor on The New Girl.
Oh boy, that was a bad performance. David Perner of Soul Asylum is 48 years old. Actor comedian Martin Lawrence is 47. John Cryer, Two and a Half Men fame, is also 47. Peter Billingsley, he was Little Ralphie in A Christmas Story. Now, he's a big-time movie producer and director. He is 41 years old today. Akon turns 39 years old. Lucas Haas is also a child star at one point. Now a very successful adult actor is 36. And actress and MMA fighter Gina Carano celebrates her 30th birthday today. I'm Ralph Garman. I walk the showbiz beat.
Brand-new Linkin Park right there called Burn It Down on the world-famous K-Rock 106.7 KROQ. And now joining us on the phone from the band, Mike Shinoda.
Howdy.
Hey, Mike.
Mike.
Hi.
First time the word howdy has been said on the Kevin Abeen Show in 2012, so thank you for that for starters. How you doing, dude?
I'm doing well. Glad to hear the song on the radio.
Yeah, glad to play it. And I have to be honest, I'm a little surprised. I know you guys usually, you know, this is about a normal time lapse between music for you, you know, 2 or 3 years or something like that. But I just, it's surprising to me that you're back already. Like, I picture you sitting on a mountain of cash and not having to work, therefore not doing the work.
I think this is actually faster for us than the last couple records. We worked really hard to get it out there quicker for the fans.
Why was that? I mean, did you get the feeling the last couple times like, yes, everybody's excited? I know you don't care about pressure from the industry, but your fans do want to hear something new.
Yeah, I think that's really what it's all about. The fans are active online. Our community online is really strong, and you just get that. Yeah, that sense that people are really, you know, excited for and ready for some new music. And to be honest, this record came together, you know, a little faster than we expected.
Well, let's talk about Burn It Down, the song we just world premiered here on K-Rock a minute ago. This is going to be the first single from a forthcoming album. Do we have an album title yet, Mike?
We do. The album is entitled Living Things, and Living Things will be coming out on June 26th.
Oh, wow. Great information. Okay. Now, Burn It Down, catchy as hell. What a riff that is.
What do you have against Phoenix, though? Because you're playing that bass line on the synth, aren't you?
With a lot of things on this record, I think that what ended up happening, I don't think it was so much a conscious decision, but we really just got kind of comfortable, more so than in the last few years, kind of dipping back into some of the stuff that we used to do, you know, in the earlier days of our career, maybe like, you know, in the first couple records.
Right.
I think the last couple records we kind of strayed away from it, really wanting to kind of tread new territory and, you know, add tools to the toolbox. And then at a certain point on this record, I think that we realized that, you know, ignoring certain things that we knew how to do and that we loved to do, by bringing those things into the fold, it could make a more solid record. So it's kind of like the most, somebody called it the most comprehensive sound. It's a little bit of the old, a little bit of the new, a little bit of all eras of the band.
Is that song representative of what the album's going to sound like?
I think that in some cases, yeah, in a certain way it is. I think there's a lot of variety on the record, but, you know, these songs on Living Things tend to be, you know, a bit shorter, a bit more of those, like, I think what those firecracker little, you know, compact songs that people kind of imagine when they think of the band. You know, it's a little more of that, I think.
Now, Burn It Down sounds like you're talking to somebody. Who is it?
It's the K-Rock building. we had... I don't know if I'm I don't think I'm allowed to say what all the song titles are at this point. We're still just kind of like putting information
out. I just want to know who Burn It Down is about.
Well, to be honest, this song, you know, just like most of our songs, we have a lot of different, you know, you can look at the different one song many different ways.
But who's
and
it
one
about?
Of the ways one of the ways this song works is that there can be an interpretation of it being kind of like, you know, what we do in pop culture, where we build somebody up to be the next great thing, and then we just like to destroy them at the end of the day. And we've lived through that, so I think there's a lot of kind of personal energy that went into like the connection of that story.
But who's the individual?
All right, I think he's answered the question here, Kevin, for God's sake.
Why are you pushing us?
Kevin wants to be the new Mike Wallace, apparently, since that job's over.
Hey, I just want to break Shinoda down and get it out of him.
What do you want me to say?
This is the voice of Mike Shinoda from Linkin Park, again on the Kevin and Bean Show. We just world premiered Burn It Down, talking about the new record Living Things coming out in June. Is there pretty much a unanimous opinion on, for instance, when you start thinking about, okay, new record's coming out, we'll probably hit the road at least do some dates. Is everybody kind of on board with however much commitment there's going to be there, or are you getting to the point where some people are less excited maybe about going out on the road than others?
Oh, we definitely, it's always been the latter that you described. It's always like, I think that in any given situation with a band, you've got people who are, you know, down to do more shows and people who are down to do less, people who are down to do more press, less press. And so, you know, you just have to find your happy medium. I mean, to be honest, with us even is a great example. Like, I think young bands ask, I've heard from other people, you know, who are just kind of like getting started, oh, you know, how many shows should we do, or how should we do the press, or how should we do this or that? And the bottom line is, not everybody is a great fit for everything anyway.
Right.
So, like, in the case of our band, for example, some of the guys really have no interest in doing stuff online, with Twitter, with Facebook, and we're the biggest band on Facebook, but two or three of our guys, like, pretty much never post anything. And the thing about that is that it's not a good fit for them. Like, they, even when they do go on and post, it tends to be stuff that, like, I think a lot of the fans just kind of go, I don't have any idea what they're talking about. So it's like, why make that guy do it? You know?
Yeah. It's kind of like Kevin on our show. Same thing. We let him talk, but then we regret it afterwards.
Yeah, how dare you? Hey, Mike, have you been voted the guy that has to deal with us?
Yes, I am that guy.
Oh, short straw.
To talk to you guys, so I'm just basically...
Understood. Yeah. All right. Well, listen, we're almost out of time here, but real quick, Kevin, tell Mike the movie you went to see a couple weeks ago.
Oh, The Raid Redemption. Tell me about... You scored that movie, right?
I did. It was my first full-length movie score.
Yeah, I didn't know it was out yet, but when I saw it, I immediately bought tickets and went, and it is just an action... just smorgasbord. I mean,
yeah.
It really does. It rules. And what's it like to score a movie like that?
Well, I mean, really for me, I had been wanting to try out, you know, a movie score thing for a while, but the right opportunity never came up. It's like, you know, either they wanted something that I wasn't comfortable doing, the time commitment was too much, and it was at the wrong time when I was too busy with the band. So these guys, just the timing just worked out well. They're you know, creatively, what they wanted from me was really open, and they were just great about it. And I got to just, you know, go crazy on the score. And it was perfect. It was a perfect fit anyway, because the movie is just a vicious action movie. I mean, it's literally, people are calling this thing the best action movie in the last 10 years. It's dudes fighting their way up a building to basically take out a drug dealer. And the music had to be brutal. It had to be, you know, kind of, I don't know, there's definitely moments, there's a lot of stuff I did in that I had a lot of fun doing, and I think it informed my process getting back to the Linkin Park record, too.
The Raid Redemption is the name of it. It opened this past Friday wide, and if you go see it, I guarantee you walk out exhausted.
Can we mention one other thing?
Sure.
It's actually big news. This is the first time we're really talking about it, and I'd love to kind of give you guys the news first.
Please.
We actually have tour dates.
Fantastic.
For the U.S., with the new album coming out at the end of June. We're going to be kicking off the Honda Civic Tour with, it's going to be us and Incubus.
Oh, nice!
And it's going to be August 11th is when it kicks off, and the tickets will go on sale on April 27th. So if people are interested in going to that show. April 27th is when the tickets come out, but if you pre-order our album on LincolnPark.com, you actually get access to getting your tickets early on April 25th before everybody else.
So very cool.
If you're a Linkin Park fan and you're planning to come to the show, you can go to our website, pre-order the album, and get the tickets to the concert before anybody else gets it.
You and Incubus, that's going to be a great show.
It's going to be awesome. Really, really great. I mean, I just it was funny because we kept running into them out on the road, and I started hanging out with Mike Einziger, and he's just like the nicest guy ever.
Yep.
And it was so organic the way the tour came about was just like in conversation, just hanging out, and so we're set up for something really, really fun this summer and really great for the fans.
Fantastic. And the great news is with Incubus's Mike and your Brad, you guys have the two best white man afros on the road today on one bill.
Absolutely. I concur.
So August 11th is the date, and you can buy tickets on April 27th. Unless you want to get them early, you can pre-order the album at LincolnPark.com, and
yeah, that's right.
You can get them early.
There you go. All right, Mike. Great to catch up with you. You have left us with a lot of information, a lot to think about, and we're going to play that new song, Burn It Down, again here in a minute on the Kevin and Bean Show. Have yourself a great time, man. We'll talk to you soon.
Great. Thank you guys very much.
Thank you, man.
That's, once again, brand new music from Linkin Park. That is called Burn It Down. World premiered earlier this half hour on the Kevin and Bean Show. Great to have those guys back. We're going to play another round of Snooki or Chloe, where we take a look at celebrity tweets in a few minutes. Also, an update on the Armenian comedian. Will he be returning to the show, Lisa May, or do we have to meet his many demands before he'll join us, before he'll grace us with his presence?
Oh, I can't wait to talk
to him. He's such a diva.
Wait to talk to him about $10,000 he wants us to raise.
2 years we've waited for the Armenian comedian time to expire on the restraining order, and now he's giving us guff about coming back.
But,
unbelievable.
But, Bean, that is so pure Sam.
Yes, it is.
It really is.
All right, let's turn our attention to the box office this weekend. Kevin, I know you were all busy up there at Coachella. You didn't have a chance to see anything, but Hunger Games was number one, as Ralph told us a little while ago. The Three Stooges, number two. Now, we had had a conversation last week about what the audience was like for the Three Stooges after being away from TV and the movies so long.
Yeah, I couldn't figure it out. And I know as a guy, I'm supposed to be excited about it, but I really could care less.
Right, right.
And
a lot of people, let's face it, they're not in reruns anymore. I mean, you know, I don't know how you get young people to go see the Three Stooges because you just see the trailers. I guess maybe you're just going for people who like physical comedy. I don't know. But the movie came in at number two at the box office over the weekend, made about $17 million. It'll end up being profitable because it was a pretty inexpensive film to make. But we thought, hey, who better to get an opinion on this new movie than the actual Three Stooges themselves? And I believe we're going to connect to the hotline to heaven right now and catch up with our old friends. Hey, guys, how are you?
Hello.
Hello.
Hello. Hello.
So, sounds like business as usual for the Three Stooges in heaven. What have you guys been up to?
Spread out, you two. Now, what do you want?
What are your thoughts
on... I'm talking to you. Leave him alone.
He's just a guy on the phone.
Yeah.
Look at the gross.
Did you guys catch the new movie, The Three Stooges?
I'll myrtleize you two. Come here, you.
Ow. Oh, you're killing me.
I'll kill you, all right? I'll myrtleize you.
Mo Larry Cheese.
I think...
No, we didn't see it. No.
You didn't see the movie. Okay. No. What did you think about the attempt to bring Three Stooges comedy to a new generation by hiring new actors to play it?
Let me answer the man's question, you two.
Hey, leave him alone. He's not bothering anybody.
Look!
Hey, you two. Come here, you coconuts. We didn't like it.
We didn't like it. Okay. This, by the way, is what you get for 2 hours if you go see the movie. You have now seen the entire movie just by listening to this conversation.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Fun, period. Also, the White Stripes, Sublime, Red Hot Chili Peppers, Black Keys, so much more coming up here on the Kevin and Bean Show. Hey, Ralph Garman, how are you?
I'm good. How are you?
What are we doing here?
We're doing a little game called Snooki or Chloe.
Hey, thanks a lot for tuning in to the new game that's sweeping the nation, where we read dumbass celebrity tweets, and you try to tell us who it is. And this week, your choices are Chloe or Snooki. It's Chloe or Snooki. Both of them are so freaking fat. Yeah!
I always enjoy this game because I marvel at how many followers Snooki and Clookie both have. I mean, in the millions, right?
Snooki and Clookie?
Snooki and Clookie.
Snooki and Clookie, all their followers?
Snooki does good.
I think Clookie really is the more popular of the two.
I'm not a fan of Clookie.
You know what I mean. And I also can't believe how stupid their tweets are. And I am terrible at this game. I mean, you'd think just by having a 50-50 chance of guessing correctly, I would do better than I do. But no, I suck at this.
You should do better because yours are bad.
Yeah.
So how dare you?
You're a connection.
You're a kindred spirit.
All right, so you're going to be reading tweets, and all we have to do is identify whether it is Snooki or Chloe. That's all we got
to
do, right?
You, Lisa, okay. And Kevin will just have to all identify right. Which one it is, and then we'll see who wins at the end of this round of Snooki or Clooki.
who's keeping track? Muggs, is that you? Or you
keeping
track? I got Kevin is. Kevin is keeping
track. Kevin will keep track. Yeah. Okay. Some reporters are so out of line and horrible. One of them tweeted, some reporters are so out of line and horrible.
That has to be Chloe, because she's talking about Lamar.
That's what I'm thinking, too.
I agree. I'm going with Chloe as well.
If one thing leads to another, I'm not going to tell them to get off.
Snooki!
What? Come on now. What reporters are talking to her right now?
Snooki.
I thought that was a gimme.
Who cares Snooki. About her? Ralph's not giving us any gimmies.
No, Snooki. He isn't.
Anyone care to see my shoe paradise? Anyone care to see my shoe paradise, in quotes?
Shoe paradise.
They're both chicks, so they probably spend a ton of their money on shoes.
Yeah, I'm guessing it's a closet full of shoes, I'm reckoning.
I'm going to say Chloe again.
Okay. Everyone else like to play?
I'm going to say Snooki.
I'm going with Kevin.
If one thing leads to another, yes. I'm not going to tell them to get off.
There you go.
Snooki.
Because she doesn't seem like a fashion plate at all. Like, no one ever talks about what she's wearing, and Chloe is kind of under that Kardashian spotlight, you know?
Yeah.
Hey, you lost. Again. Let's move on.
I do not like to cry, especially in public, LOL.
LOL.
I do not like to cry, especially in public, LOL. The tweet reads.
I'm going
to
say Chloe.
Especially in public.
Snooki does everything in public. I don't think she cares.
That's
I'll agree with Lisa. I'll say Chloe on this one as well.
I'll agree with the girl.
Chloe. Chloe, it is.
I'm finally on the board.
There you go.
But if we all get it, I don't mark one down, B. Sorry.
So you're not on the board.
I will. 2-2-1. All right.
All right. Here's the tweet. La, la, la. La, la, la.
Come on now.
That's a tweet. Someone tweeted
that's not trying.
La, la, la. La, la, la.
How do you know that's how they read it? How do you know it's not la, 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 la?
It may be.
If it's that, I have to say Chloe.
Who would sing?
Oh, geez. I'm going to say Snooki. What the hell? I'll go Snooks.
I'll go Chloe.
I will go Snooks as well.
Chloe.
Chloe.
Lisa takes the lead.
Yeah.
But why?
She's disintegrating before our eyes.
Like, what does that mean? What would that possibly, what's that tweet a reference to?
I have no idea.
Someone singing those lyrics? Back to you.
Good guess.
I'm just saying.
Brandy, we know you're saying. We heard it. Brandy and Monica back together. Woohoo! Brandy and Monica back together. Woohoo!
They do have a new song together, but who would be more likely to care?
It doesn't Chloe. Seem like Snooki would, does
Chloe.
It?
Chloe.
Brandy and
Chloe.
Monica back together. Woohoo!
Yeah, I'm going to say Chloe as well.
I'm going to say Chloe as well, just because she seems to be more plugged into pop culture and what's happening. Snooki probably doesn't even know who president is.
Correct.
If one thing leads to another, Snooki! I'm not going to tell them to get off.
Wow.
Snooki!
Are you lying, Ralph? Are you just making this up?
Nope, these are the deal.
Wow.
Snooki! All right, here we go. I need to stop playing with my damn hair. Hashtag bad habit. I need to stop playing with my damn hair. Hashtag bad habit. That's a tweet.
It sounds self-aware, so I'm thinking Chloe, but I'm going Snooki.
Kevin, you're
right. What are you doing, Kevin?
Kevin is eating flossing or something.
Or filleting.
I'm chewing gum and talking into the microphone. All right.
Well, don't you know what?
I was going to say Chloe, but Lisa talked me out of it. I'm also going to join her over in Snookiville.
I'm going to Snooki, too.
Everyone's going to Snookiville.
Damn it. Sorry,
Chloe.
People.
Why is this game so hard?
Don't go to Snookiville.
Ralph, you're picking some good ones. This is tough.
Look, I'm just reading them. I just got a list here. These are all, they're all just coin flips, I guess.
It's impossible to tell.
Yeah. I'm having the weirdest dreams ever, like James Cameron Avatar S. Of course, S meaning the whole word.
Stuff.
I'm having the weirdest dreams ever, like James Cameron Avatar S.
Look, I keep underestimating Snooki, thinking right. she doesn't know about anything, so yeah. I keep saying Chloe, and I'm wrong. So I'm going to say Snooki this time. I'm going to talk myself out of my first instinct.
Well, that's what they say. Go with talking yourself out of your first instinct.
Right. That's what we learned
from the SATs.
That's
right. Lisa? All right, so I'm Snooki. How about you guys?
I'm going to say Chloe.
I'm going to go Snooki.
If one thing leads to another, I'm not going to tell them to get off.
It is. Snooki, right. It is.
So I have three. Lisa has three. Beaton has two.
Okay.
All right. How much time do we have? We have time for...
We got time for a couple more.
Okay. Such a weird feeling. Awkward when you can't even express your own emotions, LOL.
Chloe.
It does sound like Chloe.
Way too smart for Snooki.
She's going to burn us, but I'm going with Chloe.
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 All right, heating up.
All right. We'll keep going until we have a winner.
All right.
Next one who gets it wins.
Nope, not if it's Bean.
No, that's right. He'll tie.
4-4-3.
Don't worry, it won't be.
I love grapes.
But read the tweet.
I love grapes.
Read the tweet.
That
though,
is
Ralph.
The tweet. Oh, I love grapes.
There's no way to tell who that
no.
is.
No. I'm just going to say Chloe.
I'm going to say Snooki.
I'm going to say Chloe because I don't think Snooki eats grapes.
If one thing leads to another, Snooki! I'm not going to tell them to get off.
Oh, tie game. All right. 4-3.
Okay.
All right.
We're all
tied. We'll keep going until we have a winner. It's all about the accessories. It's all about the accessories.
Is that a partial tweet or is that the whole thing?
That's the whole thing.
It's all about the accessories. Again.
Now, you would think Chloe, right?
You would, because she's fashion forward. Yeah.
I'm going Snooki.
I'm going to say Chloe this time.
Okay.
I am going to go with Chloe as well.
Between you two, really.
Right. Lisa's out. Lisa's out now.
Yeah. All right.
Sudden death between Bean and Kevin.
All right.
I feel like cleaning today.
You're just making stuff up now. These aren't tweets.
I feel like cleaning today.
Damn it.
Snooki.
Oh, I was going to pick her. Shoot. I'll go with Chloe. That way we can get a winner.
If one thing leads to another, I'm not going to tell them to get off.
Snooki
wins.
Yay! Oh, my God.
Of course, she didn't go on to clean, but she
felt like it.
Yeah.
Awesome. Hey, thanks a lot for playing. Chloe or Snooki, it's Chloe or Snooki. Both of them are so freaking fat. Yeah.
I'll carry you home tonight.
106.7 K-Rock and KROQ. It's Kevin and Bean Show at 6:52.
We're going to talk to Mrs. Comedian, Sam, the Armenian comedian's wife, about his long list of demands before he'll return to the program.
I love it.
On? At least Ralph's here today, because Ralph was threatening to not show up if Sam was coming in.
Well, he's not coming in.
So here you are.
So I'm here.
That's good news
for us. Man of my word.
And we world premiered the brand new Linkin Park song earlier in the day. We'll play that for you again coming up after the top of the hour. First time for the Showbiz Beat. What's going on?
Thanks to everybody who came out on Saturday. All the KROQ listeners who were there for the Avengers screening that we had Saturday morning. Boy, was that fun. Movie is amazing. Joss Whedon was there. And some of the stars of the film showed up as well. Your buddy Clark Gregg was there, Bean.
Yeah.
You love him. Kobe Smulders.
Wow.
Was in attendance.
Yeah. Well, wow.
Tom Hiddleston, who plays Loki, the villain in the piece. Chris Hemsworth, Thor himself, was there. So it was a very exciting time. I'll be talking more about the film as we get closer to its release date. But it just made me think of it because we are talking about movies. It is Monday, and top 10 movies at the box office is something we always cover Monday mornings. Hunger Games was number one. $21.5 million made it number one. The Three Stooges came in at number two. $17 million.
To them earlier today, Ralph. I don't know if you heard it or not.
I didn't. I missed that. But
they didn't get a chance to see it in heaven. Apparently, it's only playing in hell.
I can imagine. The Cabin in the Woods was third at the box office with almost $15 million. Titanic 3D, American Reunion, Mirror Mirror, Wrath of the Titans, 21 Jump Street, Lockout, and The Lorax rounding out the top 10 at the box office this weekend. Amanda Bynes may have a rough road ahead of her. Friends are saying that she's refusing to go to rehab, even though her people and her family want her to, given the fact that she just got popped for a DUI while creasing a police car. While intoxicated, friends say they're quite concerned. She just seems to do whatever her little heart desires these days and isn't the same girl she was just a year ago. So she sounds like she could be taking over the Lindsay Lohan role.
And I'll tell you something else, Ralph, and I know you've been following this story, but I mean, she didn't take a night off after her DUI.
Nope.
She was back out like within 24 hours going out clubbing again and drinking.
Yep.
Maybe she's pitching herself for the Lindsay Lohan story. I don't know if they're making a movie of her life, but apparently they are. While we're talking about Lindsay, did you guys see her out there at Coachella? Did you hang with her?
I did not see her, no.
She's there.
I didn't see her.
She was there.
Well, what do you want me to do?
Get an interview.
I didn't see her.
You should have gone in. Oh, no. I know what Kevin was doing. I was there. I've seen the photos.
What? Oh, passed out?
Yeah.
Let's move on.
That's a good look. That's a good look for you. Kelsey Grammer just got his first tattoo at the tender age of 57 years old. Chicago Sun-Times is reporting he got his wife's name, Katie.
Oh, no.
What?
Tattooed, not on his bicep, not on his chest, on his right hip.
Ooh.
No.
Hasn't he changed women every year and a half?
Of all people to get his wife's name tattooed on his body.
Wow.
Kelsey Grammer is the last person I would choose. What's this, like his fourth? Is like his fourth marriage?
I think so, yeah.
Gotta be. That's ridiculous. Why would he do that?
Wow.
And she spells her name's K-A-Y-T-E, by the way. So it's not like he's going to bang another Katie after this one leaves, and he's going to have to, oh, look what I got. There's no way you're going to find another Katie.
No, that's true.
He's going to have to start having sex with the Gautier. It's the only thing you could probably change that into if you were a tattoo artist, if you wanted to rearrange it. Mark Wahlberg, by the way, wants his kids to know that tattoos are not a good idea.
Okay.
He took his two oldest children with him when he went to have his tattoos lasered off so they'd see how painful it is because he doesn't want them to get any. So Kelsey Grammer's getting some. Mark Wahlberg's taking them off. Hmm. It's tax time, people. Isn't today tax day?
Oh, yeah.
Yeah. Lionel Richie's got tax problems. According to E! Online, he owes about $1.1 million to the Fed in unpaid income taxes for 2010. He owes $1.1 million? What is he making that he owes $1.1 million for 2010?
Dude, imagine the royalties on the songs that he's written over the years.
But who's playing them? How are they getting royalties on songs that no one's listening to?
I don't know. He seems like he's got one of those catalogs that gets constantly re-recorded, and he probably still sells a bunch of his records,
Didn't we hear that he's played widely in the Middle East as well?
Oh, like, really?
Super popular there?
Well,
yeah.
Figures the terrorists would like his music. Although I heard from a DJ once that when you play Lionel Richie, he gets a little richer every time you play his songs.
Right? No, no one would say that, right?
Yeah, no, there were a guy who said that.
Nobody would ever say that.
I heard a radio DJ say that. I heard him say it.
That would be too embarrassing. How long do we have to wait, Mike?
No one has that tape?
That's Pete.
It's not me. It's never been me. This is our third time today waiting for Muggs to come up with anything.
Oh, never mind. Let's move forward, shall we? Ryan Seacrest has yet another gig. I was looking forward to this show, too. The 25th anniversary of Fox.
Oh, right. Yeah,
they're
doing
the reunion. They're having the Married with Children cast and That 70s Show and Living Color cast getting back together again. It's going to happen on April 22nd, next Sunday. But Ryan Seacrest is hosting.
Yeah.
Yeah, so now I can't watch. Today's celebrity birthdays. Actress and MMA fighter Gina Carano is 30 years old today. Lucas Haas celebrates his 36th birthday. Peter Billingsley, who starred as Little Ralphie in A Christmas Story, now he's all grown up, and he's a movie producer. He's 41 years old. John Cryer turns 47. Martin Lawrence also is 47 years old today. David Perner of Soul Asylum turns 48. Kareem Abdul-Jabbar, the captain, celebrates his 67th birthday today. I'm Ralph Garman. I walk the showbiz.
Well, it is the countdown to Samageddon.
You thought the nightmare was over.
Holy sh!
You thought you were safe.
Hey!
You were wrong.
That's right. I'm getting stoned every day, every minute, and even though I don't get stoned, I am stoned.
It's countdown to Samageddon.
Kevin, let's bring our audience and Lisa May up to speed, because Lisa was on vacation last week, so she missed the countdown that we did every day. Looking forward to catching up with our old friend Sam today.
What did she miss?
Well, Lisa, I mean, we did play some highlights. We played some highlights of Sam the Armenian Comedian. We played some music that he did. Mm-hmm. We played some of the different interviews that we've had with him. We played jokes. I mean, we really have been getting in the mood to talk to him, and today was the day that
it was
Sam...
a career retrospective. I mean, it was really it was just like the coming attractions, and today was the day that we were going to see the first brand new Sam the Armenian Comedian movie in 2 years, because he wasn't allowed to come on with us for the last few years, restraining order and whatnot.
So we were so excited. And then what happened? What was the chink in the armor last week?
Well, last week I called Sam. He was very excited to hear from me. He wanted to come back on the show. Everything was great. I went home. He called Dave back, the King of Mexico, and he said, I have demands. I need things before I come in. So we were like, what are you talking about? We just talked to you.
Now, the understanding that I got from hearing from you and Dave and Lightning, all of whom talked to Sam, is that it's not coming from Sam. It's actually coming from his lovely wife, Julie. Is that correct?
I think. That's what he's telling us.
Okay.
So we should talk to Mrs. Comedian and find out. This is the next step to getting him in the studio.
We have Mrs. Comedian on the phone with us right now. Hi, Julie. Welcome back to the Kevin and Bean Show, my dear. Long time no talk.
Yes. Good morning. How are you?
Very good. Thank you.
We're doing it. First of all, can we say that you are a saint? You have been married to Sam, the Armenian comedian, for how long?
31 years.
Wow. How do you do it? That's unbelievable.
I know.
So the brief recap version for our listeners, Mrs. Comedian, is that the Armenian comedian, your husband, called in a bomb threat to the radio station 2 years ago. And we got him on the phone once we heard about it. He called on the weekend and talked to some of the kids who answer the phone at K-Rock. And we got a hold of him that following Monday. And we said, Sam, you understand that we live in a post-9/11 world and you can't make threats like this because they are taking seriously and it is very dangerous. So please tell us that you were kidding, that you didn't mean it, that you don't plan to blow up the radio station. And he would not back down. In fact, he doubled down and said, the bombs are already around the radio station. And if you guys don't do what I want you to do, I am going to blow up the building. And it was completely out of our hands, Julie. We didn't have anything to do with it. We didn't call anybody, but the police were listening, and they contacted us and said, we need to get in contact with this man and find out what's going on. And you know what happened after that. He got arrested. He ended up in jail, and a restraining order happened. Does all that sound familiar to you?
Yes. Yes.
Okay.
Is it accurate so far?
It's very bad for me. You know, what he did, he didn't tell me, but I am very, very sorry what he did, what okay. he says, and he keeps saying that it was so embarrassing for me, okay. very much. I'm very sorry what he did. It's a crazy out of hand.
Okay.
Yes. It's Sam, very crazy, and you should know, though, that even when we were talking to Sam and even when we were talking to the police, we said, look, we don't think he is dangerous. We have been friends with this man for 15 years. We're not asking you to do anything, but they, you know, it's out of our hands at that point. They have to take these things seriously, and there have to be repercussions for that kind of conduct.
Yes. That's right. Correct. Yes.
All right, Mrs. Comedian. Now, Sam called us back, and he said that you, specifically, he kind of pinned it on you. He said you wanted some things to happen before he came back in.
No. You know Sam, guys. You know him 15 years. I know him 31
okay.
years. Okay? So I'm living with him. I know how it is. But I really, it's his fault what he did it. But he wants to go back, that's fine.
Okay.
But I heard, because emotionally I come sick, and I cry days, and my kids, you know, I have two boys.
Aww.
When you're, you know, dad in a jail, you know how you're going to feel. I know he's guilty. First of all, I didn't know until I told him, you stay in jail. I want to find out what you did. You have to punish.
You did make him stay in jail, didn't you? I love that.
Yes.
Okay.
You know what? He has to punish what he says.
I
don't
hear
care
you.
How much I forgive. I'm a wife. You know, you have to love him, blah,
of
blah,
course.
Blah. But you
but
can
Sam.
Do that. You know?
All right. Now, let me just run down the list of things that he says. Either
oh, don't
he...
remind me. It's horrible.
No. No. I'm not talking about what happened in the past. I'm talking about these are things that Sam is insisting. He said you were insisting, but let's say he was insisting that
really?
Happened. That have to happen before he comes into the studio.
Oh, I don't have no idea.
Okay. Sam told us that you needed an apology.
No.
Okay. He told us that we have to have a breakfast with him. He told us that we need to raise $10,000.
Oh, no. You're kidding.
And then he called back and said he needed to go on Loveline as well.
Oh, no.
Okay, so none of this is from you.
No. You know what I did tell to him when he got arrested and he got a restraining order? I told him, if you call Kevin and Bean or you listen Kara closely, I'm divorcing you. End of. This is childish.
Wow.
And it's stupid what you did. I'm not your wife. I'm not going to put up with you.
Okay.
Wow.
That was my point. That's
now, it. Mrs. Comedian, let me ask you this. Do you believe that he understood what he did? that he took responsibility for it, that he was sorry for it, and that he'll never do it again.
I hope so. I pray for that.
Okay, I do, too.
And I'll tell you this, Julie. We have missed Sam so much. I mean, we have been looking at the calendar every month going, how long till we can get our man back on the air? Because he's been an important part of our show for a long time. And
that's
been a long 2 years without Sam, and we're dying to catch up. So it really kind of hurt our feelings when then we found out, oh, we can't have him on today as planned because of all this bad feelings.
No, that's not true. No, I wouldn't say you don't know me that much the way you know Sam. I'm a sweet, I'm a kind person.
Oh, I know. Every time we've met you, we think that. But and you know, look, Sam told us that you said it. We believed he said it probably, but there's not going to be any $10,000. He knows that, right?
Of course not.
Okay.
And you know what? It's not your responsibility. I'm his wife. I have to take in care of him. You know, I'm hurt because financially and emotionally I come sick. And I don't want, anything happen.
I don't either.
After who's paying the high price? Me.
Yeah, I hear you. I'm with you.
Yeah.
Lisa, can you believe how sweet this woman is?
She's a saint.
She's a saint.
Absolutely.
That's all there is to it. Why don't you get the hell out of there? Seriously, aren't the kids old enough that you could just leave?
That's a great question. You could just get up in the middle of the night. He wouldn't even know.
I know.
All right. So if all of this is resolved, is there any reason that you can think of, Mrs. Comedian, that Sam could not join us on the show tomorrow?
He can join. With the pleasure. You know what? Let me honestly. He was dying to call you anytime. I did tell him, if I find out it'd be end of your marriage, I will leave and I will go far away.
Oh.
You know, I was telling 2 years it was very hard for him because he loves you and he's his fan.
Well, we're very sorry that you got put through any of this. That's
a
terrible thing.
Because Sam, he stayed 2 nights in a jail. 1 night I told him, you have to stay. I'm going to punish you what you did.
He stayed 2 nights? Wow, you're hardcore. I like that.
Yeah, I put him. You know, my kids, my two boys, they cry. They says, Mother, let me have your credit card, bail him up. I said, no, I have to find what he did. He says, I didn't do nothing. I said, I have to find out. And after that, I will make decision and I'll take him care of.
Right.
Believe me, I pay all the bills. I don't want to go through. You know how expensive to go in court to pay all expense. But God, he loves me. You know, someone he helped me. Because you know what I'm mad? Because you guys, what he did is wrong. It's his responsibility. But at least you guys call me. Julie, you need anything? Ask me. You know, I was horrible. You know, I lost 10 pounds in 5 days.
Mm. Oh, my gosh. Well, we're glad to get a chance to talk to you. It was your husband did not call us for 2 years, so he was true to his word on that. And we are very excited about trying to talk to him tomorrow and catch up. And I'm glad that you guys are still together and hanging in there and being young and in love. And I'm glad we got a chance to catch up with you as well, Julie.
Thank you for calling. Thank you for asking.
You're welcome.
We'll talk to you soon, my dear. Bye-bye now. Don't forget, Coachella happens again next weekend. 2012 is the first year that they're doing it on back-to-back weekends. Same lineup. K-Rex got tickets you can win again all week long, including at 9 o'clock this morning on the Kevin and Bean Show, then at noon, at 3, at 6, and at 9. By the way, if I were Rome, the current lead singer of that band, Sublime, I'd be very, very nervous right now that they're going to bring Bradley back now that they got this hologram thing worked out. I mean, what's the point? Why do you need Rome now if you can bring Bradley back to sing all the songs, right?
That was the craziest thing. That was the craziest thing I've ever seen at a concert.
Let's go to krock.com right now, everybody, and check out the video of Tupac Shakur making his Coachella debut last night. Now, Kevin, you and Dave King of Mexico were there.
Yep.
And I'm going to hear from other people who were there who saw it in person, too, to find out what it was like. Because the impression I got just through social media was that people were just blown away by it. Like, it was a really emotional moment to see it happen. And that it was so well done that it kind of transcended just some sort of trickery.
It was emotional, but it was also weird. You know what I mean? Like, we're standing there watching a dead guy, and he's very much alive. And it was really bizarre, but when he came up, you could see him. You could see it was him. I think if you're on the sides, you can see, like, it's one-dimensional and it's a screen, I think, a little bit.
Yeah.
But if you're in the middle, if you're anywhere in the middle, you look at him and you go, he's there. I mean, it really looks like Tupac was there. And Tupac would say hi to Dr. Dre, and then Dr. Dre live would say hi back, and then he would say hi to Snoop, and Snoop would say hi back. I mean, it was just bizarre as hell. And then he sang a couple of songs, and it looked really 3D-ish from where I was sitting.
Yeah, I think he did Come to Me. He did a portion of it, a portion of Hail Mary, and a portion of, what was it? It was one of the ones with Snoop. I don't remember. But not California Love, interesting.
Yeah, they did California Love just before it. And Dave and I were like, oh, this is it. They're going to bring out Tupac now because he does the second verse of that song. But apparently they didn't have the video for it. I guess they have to use the video they have, but...
That makes sense.
They didn't. They just ended the song, and he didn't come out. And then I was looking at Dave. I was like, oh, no, we lied. We told everybody they were going to have a hologram with Tupac, and now they're not. You know, Time Magazine printed it, and all these different places printed it. And then he's not going to come out. Oh, no, we're in trouble.
Tupac, by the way, hasn't aged today. He looks just as good as the last time we saw him, which is pretty incredible.
He hasn't gained any weight. He looks like he's really in good shape.
I mean, how does a guy be that low profile for so long? And you were asking earlier if there's anybody who kind of doesn't pay that much attention to the rap world who thought, oh, Tupac's here.
Oh, I imagine there were.
And there's maybe didn't even
like
know.
That. There's always people like that. They go, hey, where's he been? But we want to take calls from people who saw it. And if you thought it looked real, it is a new technology that I have not seen before. But what a bizarre way to have a concert.
Yeah, and it does. I mean, if they're getting it to the point where it looks this good, and by all accounts it does now, what's to stop the Beatles from reuniting in Las Vegas next year?
I mean,
it seems like anything that they've got video of, and who knows these days? I mean, you see what they do in movies now; they don't even need to actually have video footage of them, you know, just doing old songs. They could easily do it on a computer and have them singing whatever you wanted. They could have new songs that bands could go out and perform live as well, which is just insane to think about.
And by the way, you know, one of the things that was really bizarre was he said, hi, Dr. Dre, you know, what's up, Snoop? And then he said, hey, what's up, Coachella?
And, of course, there wasn't any such thing as Coachella when he died.
Tupac
so who did that voice then?
I don't know. They must have had somebody do it and just edit it in so that it sounds like it. He turned to the side when he said it, so you couldn't see his mouth. But he yelled, what's up, Coachella? I was like, whoa, what's happening right now?
I'd love to talk to the company that Southern California company that I understand that put this hologram together and find out what the particulars are, like what the limitations are, because, you know, Snoop gets up and gets pretty close to it.
Yep.
And it looked like they were about 6 feet apart or something like that. So it's not like it was, you know, off in its own universe and you couldn't get anywhere near it. But it's pretty amazing technology, I'll tell you that. Let's talk to Allie real quick. She's at line 2, 1-800-520-1067. If you saw this last night or if you have some thoughts about holograms now being used in concerts, like is this something you want to see? Is this something that is the wave of the future? What does this mean? Every time you see a breakthrough like this in technology, you try to fast forward in your brain. What's it going to be like in a year or in 5 years? Are we going to get to the point where Tupac's going to be at every concert and it's not going to be that big a deal anymore?
Even like Coldplay?
Allie, hi. What's going on?
Hey, how's it going?
It's good. Thank you.
So we saw Tupac last night, and I just think, you know, it was awesome that he was resurrected for Coachella 2012 20th anniversary of Snoop Dogg and Dr. Dre.
Now, how did it, what was it like, Kevin has told us from his perspective of being in the crowd, what was it like for you? Did you know it was coming, for instance?
No, I had no idea it was coming. And actually, one of my friends, I think she really thought it was him on stage. She was like, wow, Tupac's ripped.
We knew those people were out there, didn't we?
Tupac's ripped.
So yeah, do you think that there were a lot of people in front of the stage last night who were leading over to the friends going, no, that dude's dead, man, I'm serious. It's not real. Yeah.
A lot of confused people last night.
So
how good did it look to you from where you were?
It looked real. I mean, I could tell it was a hologram, obviously, but it was when you looked at Snoop on the big screen standing next to Tupac, it really looked like they were, you know, like singing together.
It was a little freaky. It was a little freaky. Yeah.
I turned to my friends. I was like, this is a little bit eerie because it's so real.
Yeah, I mean, because it kind of bends your understanding of life and death and of reality. Is this the type of thing that you would like to see more of?
Yes.
I mean, I think, you know, I liked how they used it last night. It was appropriate. I wouldn't like to see it at every concert I'm at. I might get old, you know, but Tupac was definitely worth the resurrection.
Exactly. All right, Allie, thank you so much for the call. We appreciate that. 1-800-520-1067 is the number. We're going to talk to more people who were there last night, find out what their experience was with Tupac being back on stage at Coachella. And we had heard a rumor, Kevin, that they were going to do Nate Dogg, but they ended up just doing a video tribute, right?
Yeah, they just had pictures and videos and stuff on the screens. They didn't do it with Nate Dogg.
So
maybe they'll do it next weekend, by the way, with Nate Dogg.
That's right. They sure could. So it was Eminem was there.
Yes.
Dr. Dre.
Yep.
Snoop Dogg.
Yep.
Wiz Khalifa.
Yep.
50 Cent.
Yep.
Unbelievable, right?
Yeah, 50 Cent came out and did his It's Your Birthday, you know, and Eminem came out and did about 2.5 songs, and then he left. I mean, it was really bizarre.
Warren G was also there.
Warren G was there, yeah. The one
Kendrick Lamar, who's the kind of the new Dr. Dre protege. That's an unbelievable lineup.
Yes, and I got to tell you, yeah, they did some new songs. Dr. Dre did a new song with him, and that was interesting. It was bizarre that they didn't do an encore. I found that really weird. Don't you do encores at every single concert?
Yeah, I would think so. All right, it's going to be fascinating to see what they have up their sleeve for this Sunday night when the same lineup or close to it is going to be on stage at Coachella. Were you there? Did you see Tupac? If so, we want to hear from you. 1-800-520-1067. If not, if you have thoughts, we'll take your calls too right after this on the Kevin and B. A lot of music stuff to catch up on over the weekend, by the way, including the Rock and Roll Hall of Fame induction ceremony, which was Saturday night. Chris Rock brought on the Red Hot Chili Peppers and talked about how he was going to see somebody else. I can't remember, like Parliament or somebody, and he accidentally ended up at a Chili Peppers concert. It was the first white people concert he'd ever been to. And he said, I thought for the longest time that everybody wore socks on their penises. I didn't know it was just them. So it was very funny, and they played a bunch of songs, including that one, as they were inducted. And, of course, everybody's talking about Coachella weekend one. Kevin and Dave, the King of Mexico, are still there. You guys were in the crowd last night as something kind of amazing happened. It's not brand new technology in that, you know, last year at Christmas time, Mariah Carey did Christmas concerts in a bunch of cities in Europe this way with a hologram. And I guess Michael Jackson had one on his tribute concert in Scotland. But this is the first kind of thing that we've seen where the hologram has appeared. Tell folks who are just joining us, Kevin, what it was like last night.
It was bizarre because Snoop was there and Dre was there, and then the lights went out. And then you can see a video of it at krock.com or kevinandbean.com. The headline is, I got to stop drinking. I was at Coachella, and I'm pretty sure I saw Tupac. So go there. There's a photo gallery, but there's also, after the jump, there's a video, and it basically goes completely dark, and then you see him coming up from, you know, underneath the stage. You see his head, and then you see his chest, and he's just standing there looking at the crowd, and it's Tupac, and you're going, what the F is happening right now? And we knew it was coming, but it was still shocking.
Exactly. It's also funny when you consider how many dozens of Tupac sightings there have been over the years, you know, in the last 15 years, but this one actually came through. And
Dave, oh, this is going to confuse the hell out of everybody.
Yes, it is. And Dave, if King of Mexico is still there, you made an excellent point, too, how different it must be for us as fans watching in the crowd compared to what it was like for those dudes up on stage, right?
Yeah, I can imagine, because, like, to us, he's just a dude, you know, a performer. But to Dre and Snoop, like, that was their boy, you know. And it's
right.
Like, it must be weird that he's right there, you know, and he's performing. And they're sharing a stage with them once again.
Let's talk to Misty. You hold on. We're going to get to you in a second. Let's talk to Daniel real quick. He's on line one joining us here on the Kevin and Bean Show. Daniel, you were there last night?
Yeah, I was there.
Well, I'm impressed with anyone who was at that show, any Sunday night at Coachella show, and is still up and at it on Monday morning. It's I know it's tough for y'all. What'd you think when Tupac came out?
I felt like I was watching a ghost with about 100,000 people.
Did it look real to you?
It did in a sense, but it still looked like it was CGI on stage.
It's hard right. to say. Like I was, you know, halfway back, and to me it looked fantastic, but I don't know how it looked to people that were up closer. Or on the side, like if you're seeing it from an angle.
Yeah, I was on the left side of the stage. I was watching it, and it was too bizarre. I was waiting for Bill Murray to come out and zap him with his proton pack or something. It was just too weird.
But it was sort of strange, wasn't it? You got a feeling like, well, this is just too bizarre. It almost took you out of the concert because you were
watching kind of something that you knew wasn't real.
Yeah, you were kind of obsessed with this new technology and what it looked like.
Yeah, it was just weird watching it, and then you're experiencing it with people, and it's like, are you high? Are you experiencing the same thing I know? Are you seeing Tupac on stage?
Right. He's up there, right? Yeah, he's up there.
Daniel, thank you for the call. Again, you can go to krock.com. Let's talk to Missy next. You can go to krock.com. You can see the whole video of the performance. And the most impressive part to me is seeing Snoop play to this thing like it's a real person.
Yep.
I mean, really, like, making it believable. Missy, hi. Thank you for calling. Thank you for holding. You're on the air.
Hi. How are you?
Good. Thank you.
Oh, well, I'm really tired, first off.
I haven't slept. So it was really weird. Me and my friend were, like, rocking out, and we might have had a couple to drink, and all of a sudden, you know, like he said, it gets all dark, and he comes up. We were like, yeah! And then there was, like, this awkward pause, and we looked at each other, and we're like, that's Tupac, and isn't he dead? Like, yeah. Really, like, awkward confusion. And then, like, everybody else was kind of, like, looking around, like, we're seeing this, right? Like, I didn't, like, accidentally take something illegal or anything crazy.
No, that
like
was...
That.
That was the thought, is I can't wrap my head around the fact that this guy who I know is dead is on stage right now.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
It's really bizarre. And it opens up, you know, do you want Bradley, you know, to come back? Do you want all of these different people?
Hey, Nirvana reunion, man. Let's make it happen.
I mean, you literally, you could bring back anybody with this kind of technology, and I'm sure it's just going to get better, but... I mean, it's just, it's unbelievable to think about having Nirvana back. You know, I don't think Dave Grohl would do it, but I don't know. It's just, it's too weird. It almost makes it so you can't really enjoy it because, and maybe it's just because it's new, you're really, really looking at it, trying to figure out how they did it.
Exactly. But I do love the awkwardness and the confusion that Missy and her friends were feeling, which is, okay, I know I'm a little bit drunk, but I am seeing this, right? But wait, isn't he dead? But wait, he's right there. And then your whole head is just trying to figure it out. Missy, stay alive no matter what occurs. Thank you for the call. Let's do one more. It's going to be Trish on line one. By the way, I know they've toured an Elvis concert with video footage, like a movie of Elvis and then live orchestra playing around him, the band playing. How do they not make an Elvis hologram? How is that not instant? How is that not like printing money to tour Elvis again, right?
Yeah.
If you can do it and make it look this good, there's plenty of footage of Elvis touring. That's
skinny
sure.
Elvis. You got to get skinny Elvis.
Got to go
though.
Skinny Elvis. Yeah, exactly.
You get fat right. Elvis. I don't think the technology will work.
Trish, we're going to give you the final word on this. You were there last night. Tell me about it.
What's up, guys? We were right in the very front. Very front of the center stage. Rihanna was in front of us. There was Kesha, Usher. We saw all kinds of famous people. But when that Tupac hologram came out, it was nuts.
Okay, how did it look to you right up front?
Okay, right up front, you can kind of sort of see because there was a space between the floor and the actual hologram. But when Tupac came out and then Snoop Dogg got behind the little screen and started performing, it was crazy. And if you looked up at the screen, it looked like he was actually there.
Yeah, and he hasn't aged today, and that's what's incredible, right? And how does he stay in such good shape?
I know, right?
Exactly.
Crazy. So if you're up close, you can sort of see the technology behind
it. You could sort of see, like especially when the lights would come on, you could see through him, obviously.
Oh,
wow.
It was
like one of those Star Wars kind of holograms, you know, on the movies.
Of course.
They would show the little blue hologram. But when it came out, when he started rising out of the ground, we were like, oh, F-bomb, because everybody would just drop their jaws. Some dudes behind us were crying.
No.
It was crazy.
Yeah. It was pretty impressive.
Did you mock the dudes for crying?
Did we what?
Did you mock the dudes for crying?
No.
Because there was a girl near me crying, and I was like, stop it. He's dead.
Well, be sensitive,
oh,
Kevin.
He's alive.
Not to spoil your
time. He was alive.
All right,
no,
Trish, thank you for the call.
Bye,
we appreciate
guys.
The call.
Thank you.
Go to krock.com. You can see the video yourself and get all the details about Linkin Park. We world premiered their brand new song earlier today and broke some details on the new album and the new tour. In fact, we're going to play the Linkin Park song coming up again in about 15 minutes. Ralph's got the Showbiz Beat next on the Kevin Abid Show.
And now, a moment with Bean.
I marvel at how many followers Snowy and Clookie both have. I mean, in the millions, right?
Snowy and Clookie?
Snowy and Clookie.
Snowy and Clookie, all their followers?
That was a moment with Bean.
I marvel at that as well.
In Bean's defense, he's been at Coachella all weekend partying and seeing bands and staying up late. So, come on.
Tupac hanging out.
Give him some rest.
Hey, Harvey Levin from TMZ.com coming up next hour. Also, we will once again play for you the brand new Linkin Park song that we world premiered earlier this morning. We'll have that coming up after Ralph's Showbiz Beat here on a Monday. What's going on, man?
Yeah, everyone talking about the Tupac thing. It was a video. Everyone relax. They didn't clone him. They didn't bring him back from the dead. They projected a video on the stage. Very impressive technology, admittedly.
I'm not positive.
It was a video.
They may have brought him back.
Everyone breathe. Everyone breathe.
It's a hologram, though. That is different than a video.
It's video of the dude, and then they projected on the stage. And it's okay. And everyone breathe and relax.
I think it was him.
No, it's just...
I do.
It's just a video.
I think it may have been him.
It's okay. Everyone
seriously.
It's
maybe
good.
Him.
Top 10 movies at the box office this weekend. The Hunger Games. Number one again at the box office this weekend. Not since Avatar, by the way, have we seen a movie number one at the box office this many weeks in a row.
What is it, four?
Yes.
Five, four?
Part of the reason could also be they put movies like The Three Stooges up against it. So they haven't really come up with anything that's going to knock it off the top of the mountain yet. Three Stooges, by the way, was second with $17 million. Then Cabin in the Woods. Getting great reviews, by the way, that Cabin in the Woods.
Oh, I want to see that.
Number three at the box office with about $15 million. Titanic 3D and American Reunion were the top five. Mirror, Mirror, Wrath of the Titans, 21 Jump Street, Lockout, and Dr. Seuss's The Lorax were in, number 10 at the box office this weekend. You know, we got Battleship coming next week, next month, rather.
Oh,
so everyone
exciting.
Gear up.
You mean Transformers 4?
I'm going to get in line. I'm getting in line right now. I got to see more battleships. The Catholic League of Decency, by the way, not happy with the Three Stooges. They didn't like the fact that swimsuit model Kate Upton was playing a nun in the film in a bikini.
Yeah, she looked great.
Unacceptable. And also the fact that Larry David's character, Sister Mary Mengele, in the film, is obviously named after the infamous Nazi war criminal Joseph Mengele. Catholics all bent out of shape about that.
Okay, but it is a Three Stooges movie.
It is. It is a very broad slapstick comedy.
Right. It's goofy.
So they're wacky nuns.
Right.
And a spokesperson for the movie actually tells The Hollywood Reporter, look, I think we did the audience a favor by letting Kate Upton wear the nunkini rather than Larry David. It could have gone the other way.
And good point.
They have a point. We all would have been very sad if that
I would
happened.
Confess to Kate Upton every day.
I have bad thoughts about you, sister. That's what I have to do. And the IRS is in the news. Big list, since it is tax day. I guess tax day is tomorrow, I guess.
Yes.
What?
Tax day is tomorrow. And a lot of celebrities. Oh, we know that Nicolas Cage, for example, has only paid half of what he owes the feds, and that was $6 million. He still owns another $7 million.
Think of the interest and penalties.
Pamela Anderson owes $500,000 to the IRS still. She's delinquent to that tune. Joe Francis, almost $1 million in back taxes. Lionel Richie, surprisingly, owes $1.1 million to the feds from unpaid income taxes in 2010.
Mm. He's not getting richer and richer?
Well, a DJ told me that once when you play his songs, that's what happens.
95 PGC at 432-9595. All conversations on the air, of course, are strictly confidential. That's one for Burtonsville from Lionel Richie, and he gets more Richie every time we play one of his
songs.
Songs.
Good work, Muggs.
Gotta hurry you in, Muggs.
That was a clip.
It's not my kind either.
It's none of our kind.
Today's celebrity birthdays. The Pope celebrates his birthday today. Pope Benedict the 16th is 85 years old today.
Oh, what a party he's going to go on tonight.
I heard he was at Coachella this past week. Did you see him there?
I did not know.
He was on stage. Kareem Abdul-Jabbar, 67 years old. David Perner of Soul Asylum is 48. Martin Lawrence turns 47, as does John Cryer. Peter Billingsley from A Christmas Story is 41 years old. Rapper Akon is 39. Lucas Haas, very talented actor. He started as a child star. I believe, if I'm not mistaken, he was a little kid in Witness. He was the little Amish kid that Harrison Ford rescues. He is 36 years old. Actress MMA fighter Gina Carano is 30 years old today. I'm Ralph Garman. I walk the showbiz.
Brand new song from Linkin Park. I'm sure you can tell by the voices there. It's 8:06. This is the Kevin and Bean Show. Earlier this morning, we world premiered that. It's called Burn It Down. We also talked to Mike Shinoda. We got some highlights of that coming up for you here on the world famous K-Rock.
And you can get details on the Linkin Park album and tour right now at KROQ.com. KROQ.com, by the way, working overtime right now with all the Linkin Park news and also all the Coachella stuff over the weekend and looking ahead toward this coming weekend for Coachella Round 2. And you can win tickets to be there in person to see Tupac and everybody. We got them for you in 1 hour from right now here on the Kevin and Bean Show.
I'm sort of proud of our site, considering we're all a bunch of stoners. I mean, really, we're doing pretty well for us.
Yeah, getting a lot of stuff up there, including our own Lightning, by the way, former producer of the Kevin and Bean Show, now the guy who runs KROQ.com. He interviewed the Hoff and put up an interview with David Hasselhoff over the weekend as well.
Oh, my gosh. That's amazing.
Yep.
Because the Hoff loves to rock, is what
I understand. He does. I hear that, yeah.
Kevin, you've been away from your TV all weekend, so you did not see the news. But I am telling you, ain't no party like a North Korea party. You should see the celebrations that were going on in North Korea over the weekend.
For what?
This week is the 100th anniversary of Kim Jong-un, the current leader. His grandfather's birth was born. He was born 100 years ago, Kim Il-sung. So they unveiled an enormous statue of Kim Il-sung and an enormous statue of Kim Jong-il, who, of course, died last year. And they had
tens of thousands, hundreds of thousands of people and military and speeches and parades and festivals. I mean, it's just insane how big it is. What's going on there?
They convince the people in North Korea that they're gods, like, right?
Yes, those guys.
Yeah.
Yeah. It's kind of like, you know, there are other countries in the world, too, where they say, you know, like the emperor of China, for instance, is handpicked by God. I mean, that's right. What they want North Korea to believe is that, you know, we are royalty. We're beyond royalty. It's not just that my dad ran the country. I run the country because God wants me to.
Right. That's the same with George W. Bush, too, right?
No, not the same.
I think he said that.
Okay. But the reason this is all a little bit embarrassing for those of us watching on the outside is that part of the festivities was, hey, we're going to launch our latest rocket up into space. And just like all the other rockets that they have tried to launch in North Korea, it quickly ended up in the ocean. I mean, they can't get a rocket off the ground and into orbit. This is the third time they've tried to do this. And every time they try to do it, they get the rest of the world just all upset because the last thing they want is, you know, them to have, you know, some sort of space weapons or something like that.
Yeah, I thought the UN Security Council was passing all kinds of laws against it and stuff.
Exactly. So what is the point? What is it they're trying to do? So we asked producer Dave if he could line up Kim Jong-un, who I believe is dear leader in North Korea right now. And I believe we have him on the phone with us right now on the Kevin and Bean Show.
Wow.
Hello, dear leader. How are you?
Wow.
That was a long setup.
We're now erecting statue because it's 100 years since you started that setup.
We may have been too thorough.
Wow.
There's a lot of news going on in your country right now. That's all.
God, there ain't no setup like a Kevin and Bean setup.
It's called context. It's called context.
It's called death.
Mr. Un, let me tell you something. We do things here the way we want. We don't have to listen to our government.
Okay. Whatever you say, Round Eye, good luck with that. Okay, let me talk to the few people who are still remain listening to the program now.
Okay, go ahead.
Yes, please do. Go ahead.
We have nothing but success with our space program. Don't believe the lies of the Round Eye.
Nothing but success.
Nothing but success. That's why we're all partying. Yes.
But your rocket ended up in the ocean. It did not achieve orbit at all.
Oh, let me tell you, little smarties, Mr. Long set up smarty pants. It's a submarine rocket.
Oh, no.
There's no such thing.
It goes in the air, and then it goes underwater for exploration so we can find the Titanic and stuff.
Why don't you just launch it underwater, then? Why does it need to go up into the air first?
None of your beeswax, okay? Special North Korea plan you don't need to know about.
Plus, the Titanic's been found. What's that?
What's going on there, Kim?
Are you firing another rocket?
Oh, crap.
Crap.
What happened?
Nothing. That's just the doorbell.
It's the doorbell.
Somebody get the door.
All right. Dear leader, here's what
that
I don't understand.
That sounded like a rocket.
It sure did sound like a rocket.
What did you say? Go ahead.
Did you say another one blew up?
No, I didn't say nothing, Ron. Go.
It sounded like you were saying you failed at yet another rocket launch.
No, I didn't. Definitely didn't say that. The other one was closer to what I said than you just did.
All right. Here's my question. Why can't you get a rocket into space, something that the Soviets were doing in the 50s?
We got rocket into space and underwater.
You don't.
Plus, we're also on Mars.
You're not on Mars.
Are you on Mars?
No.
No. Look around. You're not on Mars. I know because we are Mars.
Okay, but that would have been something that would be easily verified if you were on Mars. The rest of the world could acknowledge it.
The Martians going to say, yeah, they're here?
No, Martians.
They're just us.
But we pay attention. The United States pays attention to what goes up into space and where it goes, and you haven't sent anything to Mars.
We went at night when no one was looking.
Okay, you're just lying to your people, you're lying to yourself, and you're lying to the rest of the world.
We're also on Pluto. Oh, no, I'm sorry. We only go to planets. We're also on Venus. We're on Venus.
You're not on Venus.
We are on Venus.
You can't even launch a rocket to get into orbit, let alone go to Venus.
We sent all our men to Mars and the women to Venus. Men up on Mars and women up on Venus.
What's happening?
Someone get fire extinguisher. We got a problem on all of them. All of the launch pads. Damn it, they keep blowing up.
Yes, it seems bad.
You should be able to. You know, there's a kit you can get at a department store where you can send something up into space that does better than what you're trying to do.
Kit, like Knight Rider kit?
No.
I love Hasselhoff.
Okay.
Hey, this picture of you passed out at KROQ.com from Coachella.
Yeah,
that was Saturday night. Instead of seeing Radiohead, is that what happened?
Yeah.
You look like you passed out in a brewery. Like there's 1 million bottles around you of various substances.
It was unfortunate.
What happened?
Well,
you just ran out of steam?
Listen, it was Friday night. I was drinking a lot. And then I think this was Saturday night. And I don't know, dude. I don't know.
Just a long day?
Just a long day, and then you drink a lot, and then you run into people, and you say hi, and then you're—I don't know—I just ended up passed out, and everybody was like trying to get markers to draw on my face, and people were sitting on my face, and it was—it was sort of an—it was sort of an ugly couple of minutes. I don't know how long was I out.
You were out for about an hour.
An hour, yeah,
good. Yeah.
What about all of the texts that you kept sending to Kat Corbett? Because I have
I need a ruling on this. I need a ruling.
I have one of her tweets up that she was tweeting as you were texting her. And here's a perfect example of what you get from Kevin when he's at Coachella. He's trying to ask, where are you? Okay.
Right.
That's three pretty simple words, pretty easy words to spell, right? Wouldn't you say?
Yes.
Where is spelled WSKERTGRE. R is spelled A-R-E-D, and then U is U-J. What's happening? I mean, are you texting without looking, or what are you doing?
No, I have fat fingers, and I keep hitting buttons, but this year I put the spell check on. I figured that would take care of it, but it doesn't help, really, at all.
There was one time where he was trying to tweet Kat about going to David Guetta.
Text.
Text, yeah, I'm sorry. And my phone rings, and I look, and it says, going to David Huerta. And he texted me instead of Kat.
Yeah. Listen.
Standing right next to him.
But here's my question for you, and I need a ruling on this. I text Kat, where are you? Or whatever that was. And then, and I think she understands that's what I'm texting her, right?
I think so.
So she doesn't text me back. So then I text her again, and then she doesn't text me back, and then I text her again. That's BS, right? Because now she's just gathering texts.
You mean you think that she was intentionally not writing you back just because she wanted to see what you were going to text next?
She's sandbagging me.
What does
this
mean?
So then she gets like four or five. What does this mean? Mm-hmm. Then she gets like four or five in a row and she tweets them.
What does this mean? I want to let's translate. Okay. The text is she, S-H-E, and then R-E, and then U-U.
I think that's where.
Re-U.
And I would guess that's I would guess that's where are you as well.
Oh really? Because interesting.
I would
because
guess
then right underneath that you have WHR, which is probably where.
Okay,
and then
where
RBI and then you.
That's where RBU. I don't
know. And then I see Joe. It is your too good for my. Now, that one has more words that I can make out, but I still have no idea what the hell it is you're trying to say.
I think that one was, because she wasn't responding to me, I think that one was, oh, I see, you're too good for me.
Oh, I see, Joe, you're too good for my. Okay, gotcha.
I don't know, dude.
Yeah, she speaks well English.
She does, yes. So it wasn't just you that were having problems.
No.
Dave, it sounds like, managed to keep it together pretty well this weekend because he goes hard. Dave,
he didn't do too bad.
Well, luckily, also, I had no phone service, so my tweets were in Texas were not going out. So
yeah, but Muggs was out of control.
What about Muggs?
Beer Mug, I don't know, dude. He's bizarre. He gets smashed, and so that was the night I passed out. So I said, Dave, I can't drive. Are you sober? And he said, yeah, I'm sober. So I said, would you mind driving me back to the hotel? He's like, cool, okay. So we go back to the hotel, but Dave gets a phone call from Muggs. I don't know, or when we were at the hotel?
I literally pulled up to the hotel, which is about maybe 15 miles, 20 miles away from the venue.
Right. So he gets a call from Muggs, and Muggs is like, dude, you got to come get us. We don't have a ride. And Dave's like, what? You got to come get us. Where are you? We're at the corner of Monroe and 49th. So Dave's like, let me drop off Kevin, and then I'm going to come back and get you. So Dave drives back, and he goes to the corner of Monroe and 49th.
Why didn't you drive back? Why didn't you just let Mug find his own ride? He could have got a cab or something.
Because it was him and Nicole and another friend of mine.
Your responsibility.
I know, but I was up. I was sober. You know, people have done that for me, so I go,
super cool of you.
I will.
But it was a half-hour drive.
It was a long drive.
So now he's like, so Mug's going, where are you, man? We're 49th and Monroe. So Dave goes to 49th and Monroe, and it's very difficult to get to certain locations around Coachella because they close off all the roads. So Dave's sitting at Monroe and 49th. Now, this is probably 45 minutes later, and he's sitting at 49th and Monroe, and there's no one there. So Dave calls Muggs, and Muggs is like, dude, we're at 49th and Monroe. And Dave's like, I'm sitting at 49th and Monroe.
I'm looking at the sign.
I'm
Stop
looking
it. Where
at
are you
the
at?
Sign. You're not there. Yes, we are. We're at 4. Dave's like, hand the phone to anybody else. Muggs, do you remember any of this?
Vaguely. I couldn't really see. I thought I saw Monroe, but.
Okay, but when Dave said, I'm looking at the sign. Didn't you question maybe perhaps you weren't giving him the right location? So now it's like almost an hour later, and Dave has no clue where you
the
are.
The best part was Muggs goes, are you sure you're there?
He asked you that.
It wasn't as much as my fault as it was the police officer who said I was on Monroe until I asked another police officer. Like, I was like, is this Monroe and 49th? He's like, no, this is Court and 49th. And that's why that's where the confusion
happened.
But why
did that take a half hour? Why didn't you ask when Dave said you're not there? Why didn't you go, oh, maybe I should ask?
I was a couple of red wine glasses deep, you know.
He was drinking red wine too, Bean, because he didn't want to drink and gain weight. So he would order red wine, and we had to order it like 3 or 4 times because the bartender didn't believe it. But he would order red wine, and then he got completely
looked around and didn't see any girls, right? Of course.
Right. So Muggs is out there, and he's lost, and Nicole's walking around the desert with no shoes.
Oh my God, you guys.
I don't know what happened. I was passed out back at the hotel. Yeah. And Dave's driving around looking for people. Hour and a half later, he finally finds them and drives them back. I don't know.
Well,
it was a disastrous night.
I can't believe that Dave's going back. Kevin, you're not allowed to go back. You need a weekend off, son. You really do.
Yeah, I think I went a little hard. Dave is going back next weekend, and he thinks he's going to see every band that he missed this weekend.
Yeah, it's a do-over.
But that's not going to happen.
Oh,
but
yeah.
Anyway, let's take a break. We'll come back with Harvey Levin from TMZ.com on The Kevin and Bean Show.
Mondays on The Kevin and Bean Show, we talk to our friend Harvey Levin, Dr. Law, from TMZ.com. Hey, Harvey. How are you, man?
Good morning, guys.
I forgot about Dr. Law.
I'm very disappointed in you, Harvey. Can I start by saying that? Very disappointed.
Why?
Well, I mean, let's face it, you guys have built up such a reputation as being the newsbreakers. I mean, when something big happens, you know, Whitney dies or something, we find out about it from you. How
would we not?
You?
Would we not do?
Excuse me, a little guy named Tupac Shakur being alive. I don't believe you scooped that. I believe that was unveiled at Coachella last night. Where the hell were you guys?
It's on the website.
It's on the website after
first
it happened.
You guys are barely functioning today, so I don't think I need to hear from
How
you.
How dare you, sir?
That is actually accurate.
That's true.
What did you think about that in the newsroom? Was it very cool? Was it creepy? Is it the...
I thought it was real... Well, I mean, for us... It was really cool. I'm just wondering, at Coachella, what people were thinking when they kind of looked up and they had no idea, and they might have had a little too much to drink or whatever, and they looked up and it's like, wow.
Look, I wondered, we were here, and it looked amazing, and it was also kind of weird because you know he's dead, so you kind of are trying to get your head around that. But for people who are drinking and for younger people who maybe weren't paying attention.
It must have been amazing.
I wanted to know like if you could get a statistic of exactly how many people thought that Tupac was alive.
Yeah, they're probably going to, you know, people are going to go home and say, my God, did you know?
I would have loved that.
Yeah.
That's
unbelievable.
So awesome.
Well, I mean, there were so many celebrities, dozens and dozens of celebrities.
Usher,
David Hasselhoff, just the list goes on and on and on. Kevin, you ran into Jared Leto. I know there were a lot of people there. But the one that you mentioned on your site that I think is fascinating because the judge said, hey, stay out of trouble. Put your nose down, get some work done, is Lindsay Lohan. How did she end up at Coachella again this year, Harvey?
Well, here's the thing. So she's been there the last 5 years. And she said, look, I know the judge said don't go to clubs, but she said Coachella's not a club. I think she might have missed the point a little bit.
Yeah, well, technically she's correct, but the judge probably wouldn't see it that way.
But she insists she didn't drink, that she was drinking Evian the whole time, and that she went there for the music. And I guess that's possible, right?
Harvey, it is.
I mean, maybe I'm asking the wrong people.
How dare you? It would be really difficult for somebody who's that recognizable to drink and not have people taking cell phone pictures or whatever. I mean, it would be pretty easy to disprove it if she was drinking. I would trust her.
Well, now, but remember something. She can drink. She's not prohibited from drinking.
No, so, but she said she didn't.
She said she didn't, and I think you're right that if she did, there would definitely be pictures if she's out in the open that way. You know people are just everybody's on her. And she said, you know, she knew people were whispering as she was walking through, and she heard people saying, oh, that's a bad idea, that's a bad idea.
Right.
But, you know, I think, you know, frankly, here's the deal. Who's more Lindsay Lohan, Lindsay Lohan or Amanda Bynes these days?
Yeah, well, Amanda Bynes.
Definitely. Amanda has definitely taken over as the one who's more likely to get pulled over for a DUI at this point than Lindsay. Absolutely.
That's right.
Yeah.
That's right.
That's scary. I love the pictures that you put up on the site over the weekend, and I don't know why this was such a surprise to me, but you don't think about the Secretary of State as being out there dancing and drinking, but those are awesome photos, right?
Is that the greatest? I mean...
And there's nothing wrong with it. I mean, she's certainly of age. She's legal. She's allowed to go out and have a drink and dance if she wants, but you just never see people in her position doing stuff like
she
that.
She shouldn't dance.
She should dance. Come on.
No.
But come on.
I mean, private. In private.
She's apparently way more fun than she lets on publicly. There was this famous thing that happened in the anteroom in the Senate where she and John McCain were doing shots. And apparently
what?
It got it's true. And they were and it apparently was hilarious. So she likes to have fun, and now that her term is kind of coming to a close, and she's going to resign, she's kind of showing it. Now,
kidding.
The other side of it is that so Hillary Clinton's in a bar doing, drinking. 12 of the Secret Service are stiffing hookers.
Yeah, easy.
I mean, how dumb is that?
Please.
It's like Columbia is now the new South Beach for spring break.
For people who didn't hear that story, tell them about the Secret Service, because it is really outstanding.
It's unbelievable. So 12 members of the Secret Service detail they found out that they had this, apparently like 20 prostitutes. They had hired them, allegedly, and there were 12 Secret Service guys and some military guys, and apparently this all kind of came out because they didn't pay the hookers, or they didn't pay some
gosh.
Of them.
What?
I mean, how could you not pay them?
Yeah, and this
why
is
do you need more than one per person? I love it. But
there were military guys, too. I'm not sure how it showed up. I mean, it's a foreign country, so maybe you just want to get a couple extra just in case.
And right. This is the advance team for the president. They were staying at a different hotel. They're the ones who go, and they work to secure the ballrooms and everything else that the president is going
to
be
not
in.
The immediate it's not the immediate detail, but they are part of the presidential Secret Service.
Sure.
This is the last thing the president needs in an election year is to have even the whiff of this kind of, this kind of government malfeasance.
He is pissed.
And you know what's a surprise to me, Harvey, and I know we hadn't even planned on talking about this, but what's a surprise to me is getting a Secret Service job on the president's detail is one of the hardest things in the world to do. Imagine the training and the security clearance and how buttoned up and how everything has to be just so to even get that job. Why do you throw all that away by hiring a hooker in Columbia?
Okay, I mean, you're right, but I have to tell you, and I'm having trouble remembering the name, but I've read like 3 books that were written by former Secret Service people, and I'm not sure how they got away with writing them. But if anybody is interested in this, the stories are wild. Just
really?
Oh my God! It's like you think what you just said, but some of the stories about these guys, they really are kind of crazy. But they also had really like strong opinions. They hated Al Gore. They loved Ronald Reagan. And just what they would do when they liked these guys and what they would do when they didn't like these guys. It's really an interesting.
I would imagine they have access to pretty much anything they want.
They know they have access to everything, and they're that just because they're Secret Service guys doesn't mean they don't have a wild side.
Yeah. No, you're right. It's just a surprise, I guess. Maybe a lot of this goes on. It just doesn't usually get, found out by the public because, as you said, they screwed up by turning it into an incident by involving the local police when they refused to pay for what they bought.
I mean, that's right. It's just crazy.
Hilarious. Well, get all the details on this and Coachella and Kelsey Grammer's ridiculous new tattoo and everything is up at TMZ.com. And, of course, check your local listings for both of the TMZ television shows and take the TMZ tour when in Hollywood. Harvey, thanks so much for coming on today.
Bye, guys.
The point is, Ralph, there are people just waking up and turning on the radio right now who haven't heard the new Linkin Park song.
Right.
So we're going to play it for them again coming up next.
Good. Let's just play it now. Let's just keep playing it.
Non-stop
is what I'm saying. Let's just keep playing it.
And then Burn It Down, brand new Linkin Park music world premiered this morning on the Kevin DeBean Show. And you'll hear from Mike Shinoda himself, and he'll talk about the band's plans for a tour and for the album as well. Time for the Showbiz Beat now. Here's Ralph.
New single's called Burn It Out. Is that what it's called?
Burn It Down.
Burn It Out. Burning It
Playing
Out.
Playing it a lot today because it's brand new. We want people to hear it, Ralph.
I got you.
It's a good song.
It's lovely.
Lovely.
Lovely song. It is Monday. We take a look at the top 10 movies at the box office every Monday morning. Hunger Games, still number one at the box office. $21.5 million made it. So, Three Stooges came in second. The loving recreation of the original
comedy team from the 30s pulled in $17 million. Cabin in the Woods was third, then Titanic 3D. American Reunion was fifth. Mirror, Mirror, Wrath of the Titans, 21 Jump Street, Lockout, and The Lorax came in at number 10. While we're talking about movies, I got a chance to see The Avengers this weekend in IMAX 3D.
Yeah! Awesome.
Which I recommend. That's the way you see it if you get a chance. But what a fantastic film. We'll talk more about it as March 4th approaches. But, boy, is that a good movie.
May 4th.
I'm sorry, May 4th. Yeah. It is it's a remarkable achievement on Joss Whedon's part to put all of those characters in one movie and then serve all the characters well and also pull together a great plot line and great action and stuff. Really, really impressive work. Maybe his best work yet, I think. I think we're talking to him this week, aren't we, or next week?
That's great. This week, I think.
Yeah, looking forward to it. While we're talking about Iron Man, Robert Downey Jr., already at work on Iron Man 3, says Iron Man, he thinks, is tough enough to take on the world's most legendary superheroes. He would love to go head-to-head with Superman or Batman on the big screen. Anyone who knows anything about how protective the comic book companies are about their characters knows this will never happen, but he thinks not only is Iron Man superhero enough, but now is becoming icon enough with the success of his films that he can hold his own against the big boys. And I think he's right. He's taken Iron Man from a B or C level to an A-list superhero now. So,
but hypothetically, Superman, I mean, that's not even a question.
It's hard to bet against the big guy.
Right.
Yeah. He tends to trump most people.
That's what I figured.
Except for Batman, of course.
No, because Batman doesn't have all the powers.
But Batman carries kryptonite in his utility belt.
Oh.
Yes. See? Right.
What does Batman brains. Do against Iron Man, though?
Brains. Brains over brawn.
What does Batman do for Iron Man? Good question.
He would probably jam whatever electronics makes his suit work and make him just like it, just trapped, encased in a suit of non-working armor.
I'm putting my money on Superman.
Well, I've already told you why Superman can't win.
Yeah,
we've already covered that.
Why do superheroes fight each other?
Stop
that's what
I'd putting
like
your
to
money. Lisa, yeah. You don't understand.
Are they on the same side?
Are they supposed to be fighting?
Sometimes they go rogue.
Sure.
Sometimes bad things happen.
It's a good question,
like,
Lisa.
Like Kanye West and Kim Kardashian dating. Sometimes bad things happen. They are very much in love if you believe they're friends.
Sure.
Kanye West swept porn star Kim Kardashian away to the island of St. Lucia this weekend, dropping $47,000 on their vacation.
Dude.
Word is he rented out a private bungalow, hired a five-man security team, and money is no object when it comes to impressing his new girlfriend. So they were well taken care of. And with the five-man security team, so was Kim Kardashian well taken care of. I can assume. Because I don't know if you got what I was inferring there.
Yeah, got it.
She's a whore. Today's celebrity birthdays. Kareem Abdul-Jabbar is 67 years old. Singer David Perner of Soul Asylum turns 48. Martin Lawrence is 47 years old, as is John Cryer from Two and a Half Men. Peter Billingsley, who has a child star, starred in A Christmas Story. His little Ralphie, looking for his BB gun. Now he's all grown up, and he's a writer and producer of motion pictures. He's 41 years old. Akon, 39 years old. Lucas Haas, another child star who's done good for himself, is 36. And actress MMA fighter Gina Carano celebrates her 30th birthday. Today, I'm Ralph Garman. I walk the showbiz.
Well, this song will wake you right up, Kevin, if you're tired, if you're worried about flagging.
Right, I need to die. 106.7 K-Rock is KROQ. It is the Kevin and Bean Show at 25 minutes till 10.
Which roads should everyone else avoid if you and Dave are driving back from Coachella right now?
How dare you? I'm responsible human being.
Ralph is here. The time 10. For a final look at the showbiz beat here on a Monday Kevin and Bean Show. Ralph, you seem fine. You seem well-rested.
Well, I didn't go to Coachella.
Right?
Yeah, I did other things. And none of them sound as grueling as Coachella does. That's for sure. However, I'm not feeling well. So, I don't know.
I'm coming out with something.
Oh, I hope I don't get it.
Yeah, you don't look so good either, Lisa. Yeah, you look like your
little
peakish. Yeah, I think we might.
The Armenian comedian's coming in.
Just
we'll
for
spend
safety's
20
sake, Lisa. You know how we hate to spread germs to our coworkers.
You guys
I think
always
it's probably a good idea if we probably stay home tomorrow. That's what I'm assuming. Just not for us, but for everybody else.
Well, and Kevin will be in a weakened state as it is.
Yes. This time it'll be physically as well as mentally.
I will be strengthened by the Armenian comedian.
Well, good. That works out then.
Why don't you and Lisa leave around 7 o'clock, go out and get something to eat, and then come back around 7:30. That way you'll just miss him and you'll be here for the rest of the show.
Great idea.
No, I don't think so. It's not going to work for us. But enjoy. Enjoy the Armenian community tomorrow. We're looking forward to listening from somewhere that's not here.
That's right. But everybody wants peace of mind. Meat.
What?
Nope.
You have to be back for Hannah Simone, though, Ralph.
Oh, that's right.
Yeah.
Yeah.
CeCe on the New Girl tomorrow.
Yeah. I'm trying to think. I'm just weighing it in my own mind.
I think Sam
is worse than she is great.
But just breakfast.
And there's not many things.
Just go get some breakfast.
There's not many things that are, is,
yeah, that's true.
Outweighs how great she is, but that's one of them. Anyway, I'm just saying. Enjoy. Top 10 moves at the box office. We do it every Monday morning. The Hunger Games still number one at the box office. This movie, with this weekend's total.
How much? All?
All. It's craziness.
I think it's over 300 domestically now, isn't it, Ralph?
Yeah, over $300 million. And interestingly enough, Titanic did very well overseas on weekend as well, pulling in $88 million.
Wow.
Really?
Overseas this weekend, $58 million of it in China, making it the biggest opening weekend for a movie ever there.
I thought they just stole everything in China.
Well, here's the thing. A lot of people in China have seen Titanic on the bootleg DVDs.
Oh.
And apparently had never had a chance to see it on the big screen, so they made $58 million in China this weekend.
No kidding.
That was interesting. That money has pushed the movie's total all-time gross to over $2 billion worldwide. So although Titanic was only fourth here on the top 10 list, it is now worth over $2 billion in ticket sales.
Wow.
Pretty strong. Three Stooges was second at the box office with $17 million, then Cabin in the Woods in its debut was around $15 million. American Reunion was fifth. Mirror, Mirror, Wrath of the Titans, 21 Jump Street, Lockout, and The Lorax rounding out your top 10 at the box office this weekend. Amanda Bynes, she's got her friends concerned. Not only did she just get popped for a DUI, also creased a police car. Just keep that in mind. You're loaded, you're behind the wheel, and then you trade paint with a police car.
Seems bad.
On every level.
Yeah.
Friends are suggesting and recommending she go to rehab. She's refusing, however. And family and friends say she's pretty much doing whatever her little heart desires these days and has changed a lot from as recent as just a year ago. She seems like she's a very different person. So we may have our new poster girl.
Yep.
People should learn to control their alcohol.
Yes.
Yes,
Amanda Bynes should see the photo of Kevin laying with bottles strewn all around him and use that as a cautionary tale. Maybe that'll change her mind. That's like rehab in a photo right there, that picture.
I saw that photo of Kevin and I thought, no grown man out of college should ever be involved in a stuff like that. Right?
I keep wondering, you know, we've worked with Kevin year after year after year after year and his behavior continues. And I say, well, at some point he's going to realize, look, I'm not the sharpest knife deli. On my best case, in my most rested, I struggle. He's going to say, so I probably need to curtail my drinking and my abuse of my body at a certain point because I'm, you know, really I'm getting a little bit older. I should get a little wiser and
but
maybe
in my best case,
change
if I
my
struggle,
behavior.
Then what's the damage, really? Who's with
what?
Me? Well,
who's
with me?
Amanda Bynes?
I don't even understand what he's saying now.
You said in my best case, I struggle. So I said that's my best case, so what's the damage? I might as well drink.
Because you go from struggling to full-blown debilitated.
Ineptitude.
Yes.
I'm with Amanda Bynes.
Yes, you are.
Back to you.
That's a car you don't want to be behind, by the way. Kevin with Amanda Bynes. And Kelsey Grammer also not showing his age, not acting his age this weekend. He got his first tattoo this weekend at the age of 57 years old.
Excellent.
Star Frasier got the name of his new wife, Katie, permanently inked.
What a dumbass.
On his body.
This time they're really in love.
How many marriages?
I think it's four. I think this is the fourth one.
And that doesn't count girlfriends.
No.
Right. What an idiot.
And on top, to add insult to injury, not only did he get it... Well, he didn't get it on his arm, didn't get it on his chest, didn't get it on his face, someplace cool. He got it on his right hip.
That's so he can hide it.
His right hip.
Yeah.
So he can only see it when you pull down his Speedos. It's the only time you can see it.
Ooh.
Bob Jones, by the way, was the guy who did the tattooing and said he was pretty cool.
and it set him back $60. So money is
now,
no object.
I wanted to ask you guys stand
for a good one.
Yeah, because I'm not the tattoo expert here, but I know, of course, Ralph, you're completely sleeved. But can you get a decent tattoo for $60? I mean, that seems as bare bones as it is possible. Right?
It does seem a little low rent, but it's just a name. It's just Katie. So how elaborate does that have to be?
Right.
Well, you have to set it up so you can change it into any number of things.
That's right.
Once Katie goes away. Yeah, he had it done in cuneiform, so no one ever can read it. So it's just like Sanskrit. But it's there. He can tell her. Yeah. With his money, he should have got a hologram of Katie that played on his crotch when he hit some sort of button underneath his skin. That would have been impressive. Yeah. It's like Tupac was there!
It is like Tupac was there, though.
No,
Ralph.
It's nothing like
it
that.
Is. It was
it's
like
nothing
that.
Like
Very
that. You know why? Because they're projecting a video onto a stage, so it's really not like him being alive at all. But it looked really real.
Yes, but it's not like on a screen.
You sit at home
like
and go,
watching in a movie.
Oh my god! It's like these little tiny hockey players are living in this box in my house. They're like actually playing hockey on my wall. And it looked much it's a more miracle. Real than that. Much more real.
Yeah, but you know, it was just a video of him,
I
right?
do know that.
Okay.
I'm aware of it.
All right.
You go to krock.com, you can see the video of Snoop Dogg on stage, standing next to and singing with, in a duet, Tupac Shakur. And it's very impressive looking.
It's like I got a little orchestra in this box.
See Madman last night?
Yes.
Yeah.
Yes.
It's like a little orchestra lives inside this box. He's looking at this giant console record player.
Yeah, Pete was a little too excited about his new hi-fi.
Yeah, Pete got his ass kicked.
Yes, he did. That was awesome.
Oh, so sweet. Today's celebrity birthday is the Pope. Pope Benedict the 16th is 85 years old today. Kareem Abdul-Jabbar, legendary Laker. The Captain, as they used to call him, 67 years old. Dave Perner of Soul Asylum is 48. Martin Lawrence is 47. John Cryer from Two and a Half Men is 47 as well. Peter Billingsley played Little Ralphie, looking for his Red Ryder BB gun in A Christmas Story. He's 41 years old. Akon, 39. Lucas Haas is 36. And actress and MMA fighter Gina Carano is 30 years old today. I'm Ralph Garman. I walk the showbiz beat. Thank you, Ralph. Tomorrow morning, all new Kevin and Bean show. We have bad celebrity tattoos. We gotta
Kelsey Grammer.
Some calls. No, you got a celebrity tattoo. Oh. That's what we're looking for.
You're a fan of a celebrity and you got a
correct
bad one? Gotcha.
Yes. Yes. We also have Hannah Simone.
Yes, we do.
She's CC on The New Girl, and we're going to have her in studio for maybe all of the show.
You have to ask yourself this question, Ralph, because I know how much you love The New Girl. You get your choice of dating Zoe or Hannah. What do you do? They're so totally different types of women.
Yes. I get them both.
That's a tough choice, man.
I take Cece because she seems more sexually proficient.
Yeah.
Good answer.
Zoe's a dork.
A bull.
True. Yeah. She's adorkable, but she's a dork. And she does not seem to be a good time in the rack.
Plus, you're being a
comedian. I feel bad.
Tomorrow
for
morning
rich
on an all-new Kevin and Bean
what
show.
What was the last part you said?
I said tomorrow morning on an all-new Kevin and Bean show.
Boy, cut. Boy, cut.